Mark, it's really amazing that you can see we have only 7 minutes to go and you are not taking the phone. That is really amazing. Probably I'll remove you from that studio now, from this afternoon, that you may never get back to that studio again. Well, listen, people, today we had a conversation right before lunchtime. And that conversation, let Joanne handle the studio team, please, so we don't do it live on air. So, blessed people, before the lunchtime, we were handling this tremendous message that the Lord spoke this past Friday. A very, very serious message, because in that conversation, the Lord laid out the events of hell, the events that take place in hell, the seriousness of hell. And the Lord said that being aware of the seriousness of what happens in hell, there is no way anyone can continue in sin. And the things that happen in hell serve as an awakening, as a wake-up call to this church and this generation to take their salvation of the grace a little bit much more seriously now. Because he says in the book of Revelation 20 verse 15 that hell is a lake of fire. And that anyone whose name is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be thrown into hell. And we read from the book of Revelation chapter 20 verses 9 to 11 that the fire that burns there produces the smoke of their torment. It is burning sulfur, kiberiti in Swahili. So it's not the ordinary fire. It's a more burning fire, like sulfur, burning sulfur. And the smoke of their torment rises up forever and ever. And when I defined to you what forever and ever means, we saw that God Almighty describes the longevity, the lifespan of God, the fact that it has no end. He calls it he that lives forever and ever. So in other words, the judgment in hell is for as long as God lives, you will be judged in hell. And we saw very clearly that in that lake of fire, the smoke of the torment that comes out, as you see Revelation chapter 14, 9 and 11, is actually testifying on your rebellion. It essentially testifies on the fact that when the Lord Jesus brought his salvation of grace, you rebelled. You turned it down. You refused to receive the grace of Jesus, as you see the present day generation is doing. And so these are some of the gravitas that the Lord delivered on that day. That hell is, Psalm 11 verse 6, is a rain of fire. It's a place of torment. The worms never die. That the worms are fully billions in your body. They are crushing you. They are eating. They are burrowing. They are digging into your brain, digging into your flesh, digging into your arms, digging your nerves. They are going through the veins and everything. Billions of worms everywhere. And you are feeling so much pain before the fire from the worms that never die alone. And you are crushing your teeth, gnashing your teeth. That's the reason it says gnashing your teeth, meaning excruciating pain, unbearable pain. But that goes on forever and ever. And then the fire of the torment of forever and ever, raging fire, place of torment. Place where now people regret that they wish they were given a second chance, they would have believed the gospel. We saw that from the book of Luke chapter 16, verses 19 all the way to 31, when the rich man was now regretting. So he tell my brothers not to ignore that gospel, so that they don't end up here. We saw that it's the bottom of the pit. It's everlasting burning. It's a blood furnace. Everlasting punishment. A place of everlasting wailing. A place of everlasting weeping. So with all that gravity, we say, then you ask yourself, why would the present-day church trivialize sin the way they are doing today? If that is the consequence of sin, the penalty that sin brings, the judgment that sin will attract, that forever, for as long as God lives, you'll be judged forever, meaning there is no end, eternal judgment. And I say it very clearly, blessed people, that the reason the Lord is raising this to you today is that the knowledge of what happens to you when you die as a sinner, or when that day comes, or the rapture happens and you're not ready, or that moment of judgment comes, or the tribulation rolls in and you've not repented, you missed the rapture, so you cannot bear with the tribulation for those that will still accept Christ. The reason the Lord raises this is that you may take the glorious salvation of Jesus more seriously. Because it is hell when you say that Jesus came to save us, to save you. Save you from what? He came to save you from hell. It is the punishment of hell that we owe God. We owe him that judgment. He ought to judge us. He ought to judge us because the wages of sin is death. It is that that he came to remove us from. When you say that Jesus came to deliver us from sin, he essentially came to deliver us from hell, because the wages of sin is the eternal death, the second death, eternal death in hell. And I said very clearly that therefore it raises many serious questions. When you look at the present day church playing around with sin, dressing in immorality at workplace, today is Monday, if you go to work, in the town, even just Nairobi here, you cannot distinguish between who are Christians and who are not. Based on the conversation of their tongue, the dressing they behold, and everything they exude, you can almost tell that there is no difference between the born-again and the unborn-again in the streets of New York or Nairobi. And the reason that happens is because the devil has lied to the present-day church. He has lied to the present-day generation of Christians, and even those not born again, that hell is trivial. The devil has slighted hell. He has made hell light, although hell is nothing. The devil has played around with the church, the mind of the church, as though hell will not be a place of torment, as though there will be no weeping there, as though there will be no punishment eternal. And so that's why you see the Christians of today, they take it very easy with sin, they are still in sin. But if you perceive the depth, the greater gravity of hell, and the eternal punishment that is abode in the realm of hell, there is no way for a single second you can recycle into sin. And that's why the knowledge of this this hell that is waiting for the sinners is what makes the gospel of Jesus glorious, is what makes Jesus the gallant savior. If he can really redeem us from such an unbelievable hellfire and judgment, then you can tell that this is such a mighty, mighty savior Jesus is. But my question then is, why is it that God had to bring his son to die for us? Because God saw that the wages of sin is death, and he had pity on us. Because he knew that he himself, God, is totally, absolutely holy. Absolute is the word. And he is absolutely righteous. The Lord Jehovah, the one that I speak with, that sends me to you, that all the time comes to speak with me, brings me to his presence in heaven. Have you known, do you really know that he is absolutely very super holy, 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 absolute? Have you known that? These are things I've not shared with you. You cannot even appear in his presence with the sin of this world. Had you known that he is absolutely righteous, that nothing unholy can appear in his presence, nothing unrighteous can appear in his presence. Look at the example of Lucifer, who was a glorious angel worshipping God better than all of you tuned in right now. He worshipped God gloriously, eternally. We don't know where eternity began from. And he worshipped, the way the Lord describes the nature of his glorious worship and splendor, and the special creation of worship he was. But however important he was, leading the entire heaven to worship the Lord, when he fell to sin with one third of the angels that followed him, the Lord instantly flushed him out. And that is the epitome. That is the symbolism that the Lord uses to demonstrate to this generation that he cannot tolerate any sin. And therefore, to tell this generation that no sinner will enter the kingdom of God. Are you really aware of that? Then why is it that when you walk into the streets of Nairobi today, you will find many Christians indulged in sin. They are having lunch break, he's married, and he's having colleagues there, he's flirting with one of the girls they work with, and they're talking there. If you look at them from a distance, you wonder, are these people in sexual sin or what? And he's a Christian, he's married. Same thing with pastors, making lies at the pulpit. Then why is it that this generation has indulged in sin? When the Lord comes out here very clearly, absolutely clear, that not even one piece of sin will enter his presence in heaven. Everybody in there must be absolutely holy, absolutely righteous as he is. You see, the scripture even says clearly that God cannot stand sin. That's why he brought Jesus. That's why, knowing that we cannot make it, he brought Jesus and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to facilitate us, that now sinful mortal man can achieve the benchmarks and the milestones of God in terms of holiness and righteousness. And if you look at the book of Habakkuk, if you turn with me to Habakkuk, the book of Habakkuk, blessed people, chapter 1, Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13, it says, your eyes, O Lord, are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. The first part of Habakkuk, I read another version, the New Living Standard says, but you are pure and cannot stand sight of evil. You look at the English Standard Version, it says, you who are purer, you who are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong. That's the first part of Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 13. It says, other versions say, your eyes are too pure to look upon evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. King James says, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil and canst not look on iniquity. And he says, your eyes are too pure to look upon evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Are you aware that the Lord that comes to speak with me about corona, these prophecies, the God that takes me before his presence in heaven, is this holy, absolute holy? You cannot even appear there if you are in sin. He is too holy. He's absolutely righteous, absolutely holy. And that's the reason he gave Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior to come and die for the sin of man. And that's why his eyes, if you look at the book of Revelation chapter 19, verse 12, look at what it says, Revelation 19, 12, about his eyes. His blazing eyes are like fire. He cannot look on evil. He cannot look at sin. The book of Revelation 19. Once you get there, we read verse 12. It says the following. It says, his eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. His eyes are like blazing fire, blessed people. It says, your eyes are too pure to look upon evil, O Lord. And you cannot tolerate wrongdoing. His eyes are pure. They are too pure to look at sin. And that's why no sinner can enter heaven. Is the church aware? Is the church of this age aware? Is the present-day church really aware of that? That his eyes are too pure. He cannot look at sin. And it says, Revelation chapter 1, verse 14, the hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like blazing fire. And I remember that tremendous vision when the Lord Jesus visited with me in a very mighty way. In fact, I was just about to lead to a mission to the Latin America that night. And when he appeared, the whole house was covered with glory, like you take 1 billion suns at their full strength and you pour into one room. And then when he stood there, all he left is the outline of his head, of his hair. And then the piercing flames, blazing eyes,
see us into the glory. It was such a dreadful moment. Are you aware that his eyes are too pure to look upon evil? In Habakkuk chapter 1:13. And he cannot tolerate wrongdoing. That's why you wonder why the present day church indulges in sin, as though there is another heaven they're headed to. But if you are heading to the God of Israel, to Yahweh, he cannot tolerate sin inside heaven. And that's why he raises up the flag, the red flag, by giving us the narrative of hell, that you may understand that with sin you will not enter his presence. You will not. You will not enter the presence of Yahweh with sin. And so, in other words, in Habakkuk, you see now he raises the fact that God is pure. And that's why the sinners, even in the church, will end up in hell. That God possesses eyes that are too pure to tolerate sin. That's what he's raising. And that's why he's asking the church to take the salvation of the cross and the blood and the Holy Spirit and defeat sin and enjoy the regeneration of their hearts, the newness of life that has defeated sin. Otherwise, what Jesus did at Calvary would be rubbished if you're not able to defeat sin. He has facilitated us with the Holy Spirit. And in Habakkuk and Revelation 19 verse 12 and Revelation 1 verse 14, he is describing the purity, absolute holiness of God, such that we cannot enter there with sin. Isaiah chapter 6, you remember. All of a sudden Isaiah appears before the throne of God, and immediately the first thing that strikes Isaiah is the sinfulness of man. He says, "Oh, I am a sinful man, a man of unclean lips, coming from a people of unclean lips. And yet my eyes have seen the Creator, the absolute holiness of God." Isaiah almost raptured there, almost burst open and died there. He cried out, the absolute holiness of God. He's saying, in other words, that God's holiness is what displays to us his character. That is what now we pick from this narrative of his eyes cannot tolerate sin, the reason for which he sends Jesus to die for us, that we may vanquish sin. The Lord is talking about his purity, the purity of his holiness, the purity of his character. And he's saying that purity is the expression of his moral excellence, which we cannot achieve, moral perfection we cannot achieve. That God is totally separated from sin and sinners. God, I want to tell the modern day church, that God is totally separated from sin and sinners. Not just sin, but also sinners. That's why he sent Jesus to cleanse up sinners, that they may get rid of the sin in them if they want to enter his glory. So he lays it so clear in the narrative of hell that God is totally separated from moral decay, from sin and sinners. And that God is totally separated from evil, wickedness, decay, from the corruption of this life. Those are absent from his presence. You cannot enter there. So the church had rather shape up and pull up their socks. He's saying that the opposite of what is in the church today is what ought to be happening in the church. The church ought to be stopping sin and moving towards holiness. That God's moral inherent standards must be met through the blood of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We must. He cannot condone sin. He will not accept sin. And so the Lord is encouraging you here that, look, step away from the lie of the devil telling you that hell is nothing. No, hell is eternal judgment of fire. Hell is eternal judgment. Eternal flames of burning and burning sulfur incinerating you. And you have a body that does not end. So it's not the end. You will not be terminated. You'll be there alive. like you see in Luke 16. He was alive, feeling the pain consciously, forever and ever. I know that we are late. It has been a lunch hour session, but we'll continue this conversation another day, even tomorrow. May the Lord bless you. But remember, turn away from sin. The devil has lied to this generation that sin is trivial, hell is trivial. The devil has slighted hell, made it lighter, as if you should not worry about it. And yet now you see very clearly that to be eternal torment, eternal weeping, eternal gnashing of teeth, lake of fire, rain of fire, place of torment, worms don't die, raging fire, hell, bottom of the pit, everlasting chains, darkness, everlasting burning, blast furnace, everlasting punishment, everlasting wailing, everlasting weeping. Who wants that? Why? Because God is pure. If you read Habakkuk 1, we have read Habakkuk 1:13, it says, your eyes, O Lord, are too pure to look upon sin. That's why you will not be there if you are a sinner. You cannot enter there with sin. Your eyes, O Lord, are too pure to look upon evil. And you cannot tolerate wrongdoing, cannot tolerate sin. In the Garden of Eden, the devil made the same lie. He told them, no, don't worry. That punishment God is saying is light. It will not happen. He loves people. God is love. God is good all the time. God is good. God is good all the time. All they lied to them. The devil lied to them in the Garden of Eden. Don't worry. God cannot judge you with death. Just touch the fruit. And so the Lord says, those who are lawless, who are found in lawlessness, not able to obey the law of God. When Adam and Eve tried, look what happened. Death came eternally until today. There is death. God is serious in his word. Heaven and earth will come and go, pass away. But his word will stand that without holiness, nobody will see God. Your eyes, O Lord, are too pure to look upon sin. And you cannot tolerate lawlessness, wrongdoing. Adam and Eve tried. The devil has used the same trick to make the church today lawless, like he did with Adam and Eve. So they did not obey the law of God, and they brought this tremendous torture, torment, and suffering that you see on the earth today. Eternal death. Until now, there are people that will die eternally in hell. But that is the same lie the devil has brought to the present day church. To tell them, no, don't worry, God will not do that. He's just threatening, he loves you, he won't punish you. So that the same lawlessness, not obeying the law of God, has entered the present day church. So they are in virtual, absolute lawlessness. But God has his law. Everybody that enters there must be obedient to the law of God. That's why when he describes the people that will enter hell, he says, those who practice lawlessness. If you want to receive the Lord, repeat after me. This is the lunch hour session. It came a little late. But repeat after me. Say, mighty Lord Jesus, I repent tonight and turn away from all sin. And I ask my Lord Jesus to purify my heart with the eternal blood you shed at Calvary. Wash me pure and keep me away from all sin and lawlessness. Order my steps, Lord. I have received you as my Lord and Savior today. Empower me with the Holy Spirit. And in the mighty name of Jesus, I am born again. Thank you. The Lord bless you.